I had never heard about this cafe until I read about it in the Our Daily Bread. It is called Narrow Door Cafe, which is pretty self-explanatory because the door of the cafe is so narrow that if you eat too much once you're in the cafe, you'll never leave. Croissants, dumplings, pork curry, and all sort of scrumptious food await those who find and enter the Narrow Door Cafe. Located in the Taiwanese city of Tainan, this cafe is literally a hole in the wall. Its entrance is barely 40 centimetres wide, just enough for the average person to squeeze their way through. Yet despite the challenge, this unique cafe has attracted large crowds, which means many fortunate people have made it through the narrow door. We all know that there are many obese Westerners who would never be eating in this cafe, but it seems that it is certainly worth attempting the squeeze through to taste the culinary delights, even if it results in you never leaving. Can you imagine if you got stuck? Wouldn't that be embarrassing, someone having to kick you through the doorway? A door gives access to a space you might want to be in for whatever reason, and in this case, food is a very good reason. A door gives access to a space you want to be in. The right way to get into an enclosed space is through a doorway. Gosh, you learn some amazing things in City View Church. Not by a window, not through the roof. Mostly thieves climb through windows and roofs. You may have climbed through these yourself when you've locked the keys in the house. It's so annoying when that happens, isn't it? I've done it. Who's done that? I know Diana locked her young baby Harvey in the house a couple of years ago, and she frantically pleaded with her neighbour to climb through her roof to open the house from the inside so she could get to Harvey. He just had an operation on his shoulder, hadn't he, Diana? I think that's how the story goes. And the poor bloke, he gave it a try, but he ended up getting his teenage daughter to climb up onto the roof instead. It's not a safe thing to do, is it? You can hurt yourself climbing through a roof or a window simply because that is not how you are meant to enter an enclosed space. You are meant to enter by the doorway, yes? And in some instances, as seen in the picture that we looked at above, it may be a tight squeeze, but that's the way you are meant to go. That's the purpose of a door. You walk through it. You let go of the cumbersome baggage and walk through the door. Turn with me to John chapter 10. Reading from John chapter 10, reading from the Amplified Bible. These are the words of Jesus. I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name and brings them out. Jesus said again, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that I myself am the door for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to and obey them. I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved. They will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and will find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. They're the words of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, this day we proclaim that you are the door. In fact, in the Bible, you call yourself the narrow door. We believe this scripture, and if there is anyone here who has not discovered you as the door, I ask that this day they will walk through you to the kingdom of God. And Lord, for all others, let them see how safe they are in your sheepfold. Bless this word. May it not return to you empty. Amen. John 10, verse 1. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you. The Amplified version of this scripture begins with, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you. In fact, it states it twice, preceding two very important points within the next 10 verses I've just read. Other translations say, truly, truly, or verily, verily, or very truly, I tell you. These words are always used in the Gospel of John when Jesus is introducing an extremely important, powerful statement regarding our salvation. When you read this kind of introduction from Jesus, you need to listen carefully because Jesus is going to make a significant statement that relates to your eternal life. It is a solemn, true, and significant statement. It is, in truth, the very truth. It is a most solemn truth that must be believed about Jesus. It must. And your response to the truth determines your eternal destiny. So people, this whole passage of scripture, you need to take very seriously. Everybody does. This is a message for the world. That's why we support missionaries. This is the message they tell. John 10, verses 1 to 10 needs to be heard and understood by all. Jesus said, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold but climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber. Did you ever wonder what a sheepfold is? The sheepfold that Jesus was talking about was an ancient sheepfold. It's simply an enclosure or pen with one door, where livestock comes in and goes out. In the eastern countries, the walls were usually built from stacked stone, high enough to make it difficult for a thief to get inside and steal one of the sheep. In an area of predators, thorny bushes were put on top of the walls to keep lions or wolves out. Can we have a look at one of these? There it is. Just keep that one up. That's good. Can you see that? There's just one way in. This is an ancient sheepfold. It's still standing. They did a good job of that, didn't they? As you can see, the door is small. See that one? It's very small, often narrow opening that could be easily blocked by the shepherd or a hired watchman. In the evening time, the shepherd would herd his sheep into the sheepfold, count them to make sure they were all there, and lay his body across the opening where he would sleep for the night. Once inside, the sheep would huddle together through the night, both to keep warm and for safety. Thieves could not get over the wall, steal a sheep and get it back over the wall without waking the shepherd. That would wake the shepherd. The same goes for wild animals. And no creature would dare come close to the gate because they knew that the shepherd or the gate watchman rested there. There was one way in, and that was guarded by the watchman or the shepherd. Jesus said, if a man does not enter by the door, but instead climbs over the wall, he is up to no good. He's up to no good, unless, of course, he's a hormonal mummy who's locked her baby in the house. But Jesus wasn't talking about her. He wasn't. He who climbs over the wall is up to no good, and he is reprimanded as a thief and a robber. However, the good shepherd enters by the door because he has a right to enter through that door. He is recognized by the watchman as a legitimate shepherd. The good shepherd goes in through the door as opposed to thieves who climb over the walls to rob and destroy. It is the good shepherd's right to enter because he owns the sheep and he has come to claim them. The shepherd comes to call his sheep and they all follow his voice and they follow him out to pasture. They just love their shepherd. They don't know that one day he's going to slit their throat and eat them. They don't. They just love him. How did they do that when they got to know them really well? I don't know. The shepherd, Jesus isn't going to do that with us. I just want you to know that. Maybe I shouldn't have pointed that one out. The shepherd comes to call his sheep and they hear his voice and they follow him out to pasture. But not only is Jesus the legitimate shepherd to this heavenly flock and his rite of passage through the doorway, Jesus claims to be even more than this. He's more than a shepherd. Jesus said again, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that I myself am the door for the sheep." He is the door. The sheep are with the shepherd inside the stone enclosure during the night. Can we have that next picture up? There was no door of any kind in these enclosures. In place of a door, there was just an open space. At night, after the shepherd called in his sheep and heard them within the fold, the shepherd himself, if he didn't have a watchman, would lay down across the opening and entrance into the sheepfold. What an uncomfortable place to sleep for the night. If it was me, I would take a couple of cushions. What do you reckon? Or really, yeah, huddle around. The shepherd was the door. His body is the door. No sheep could get out and no enemy could come in except over his dead body. In a very literal sense, the shepherd was the door. There was no way in or out except through him. There was no way in or out except through him. Jesus is the great shepherd, but he is also the door. Yeah. He and he alone is and will always be the door. For the sheep, Jesus is the door to all the blessings of eternal life. Jesus is saying, "I, and I alone, and no other, and the door of the sheep." In other words, Jesus is the one and only door into heaven. Jesus Christ is the sole way to God. There is no other way. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, we've sung it this morning, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If there is no Christ, there is no way to God. If he is not the door, there is no entrance into God's presence. As the door, Jesus is the one way of entrance into salvation. As the good shepherd, he is the one who cares for the sheep and provides for their salvation at the cost of his own life. The image of the door conveys to the listener a certain exclusivity. Some may think that there may conceivably be more ways than one of getting into a place. However, by the use of the door in this illustration, Jesus is making it extremely clear that there is but one door. There is only one exit into eternal life. It is through Jesus Christ. Once you've entered through the door, capital D, it is impossible to be tolerant of the various false ways which can lead only to eternal condemnation in hell. Muhammad is not the door. Buddha is not the door. Mormonism is not the door. Jehovah's false witnesses are not the door. Hinduism is not the door. Yes, I dare say all of this morning. Jesus is the door. How can Jesus make such claims as to be the only door to salvation and eternal life? What makes him so unique? How can he make such a statement of sovereign grace? Jesus can make such a remarkable claim because he is the I am. He is the I am. In the Old Testament, the I am is the identifying name of God. When Moses said to God, you know, who do I tell Pharaoh who you are? What did he say? Tell Pharaoh that I am the I am. He is the I am. The I am is the identifying name of God. God Almighty, the great creator of the universe, discloses, reveals, calls himself the I am. It's a pretty cool name, isn't it? I am. I am. When there is nothing else, I am. When there is everything, it's because I am has created it. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ continues the disclosure of God by pointing to himself as the I am. But he does it with greater intimate description for our benefit. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He's our sustenance. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He shows us the way. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. Everything he says makes good sense since he is who he said he is and he is who he claimed to be. In this great, awesome statement, I am the door, Jesus is claiming to be God. He is God. He was the holy and righteous God who came to save his people from their sins. He came and died as our substitute. By means of his death for our sins and his resurrection, he literally became the door through which sinful people can come in to the presence of God. He is the new and living way, and it is through him we have access to the Father. There is only one door, and Christ himself is that door. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. In Jesus Christ, there is no compromise when it comes to eternal life. He and he alone is the door to heaven because he indeed is God. How hospitable is God? He himself makes a way for us to come to him because he is the door. He is the door. But before I finish, I want to point out that for our eternal safety and well-being, he is a narrow door, not a wide door, not a broad door. He is a narrow door. Let us look at Luke 13, verse 24. Once again, Jesus' words. Jesus says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Looking back to the beginning of this sermon, we playfully acknowledge that the narrow door cafe was worth a visit, even if it was a tight squeeze getting in. Without a doubt, you wouldn't be carrying any suitcases or big bulging shopping bags through their door. Elise would find it very hard to shop at the narrow door cafe, not because she's fat, but because she loves shopping at secondhand shops. But I guess with this, you'd probably visit the cafe before you do the big cheap tourist shop. That's what you do. Jesus Christ presents as a narrow door because you've got to leave your baggage outside. It won't fit. To come through the door of Christ, you've got to let go of your resentment, your anger, your jealousy, your unforgiveness, and your pride. And by the way, pride is the source of all those other sins. Isn't it? Pride is the source of resentment, the source of anger and jealousy and unforgiveness. Pride. You know, pride makes your head really, really big. You won't fit through because your head's too big. Leave it all outside at the foot of the cross. Leave the trappings of success at the foot of the cross. Leave the addictions and self-destruction at the foot of the cross. Leave the rubbish outside. The rubbish don't fit. We've got to do it Jesus' way. I watched a dog trying to get through a little doggy door with a great big stick that was way too long in his mouth. Has anyone ever seen that? It's really funny. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't get the stick through the narrow doorway. After a lot of effort of pushing and shoving, he ended up dropping it outside the door, which was just as well because the stick didn't belong inside the house. There are better, more suitable toys for the dog to play with in the house. Jesus is the narrow door for a very, very good reason. He has much better things for you, much better treats. He has a much better plan for your life than you could ever imagine. Just trust him and walk through the narrow door. You will not regret it. It might not be what you think it should be, but just trust him and walk through the narrow door. Empty your pockets before you do. Get rid of that bag. Get rid of the backpack. Get rid of anything big and bold. You take the overcoat off and the other stuff. Walk through the narrow door and become everything that Jesus wants you to be. And it's a great life. It's a great life. In the middle of turmoil, even in the middle of things going wrong, it's still a great life. I've got the joy of Christ no matter what I go through. I've got his peace in my heart no matter what I go through. I've got satisfaction no matter what I go through. Just trust him, Christians. You are not meant to be scared in the sheepfold. You are not meant to be unhappy, unjoyful in the sheepfold. Just rest when you get into that sheepfold. Rest in him and do what he tells you to do. Life is that simple for a Christian, isn't it? It's not complicated. Christianity is so not complicated. It's so black and white in a horrible world of greys, and society is becoming more and more greys. There's no yeses and nos anymore. It's all in between. There's no boy and girls now. It's all in between. It's just horrible. Our God is an absolute God, and He is the truth. You know, the other day I was just talking to Dad because I saw something about a court case, and this person was commenting about the court case, and they said that the woman that testified, it was her truth. It was her truth, implying that it may not be correct, but it was her truth. I'm sorry, but in God, truth is truth. It's either wrong or right. It's either a lie or the truth. God is truth. He is truth. He is absolute truth. So let's do it His way with transparency and truth. And if He's telling you to deal with some of that baggage you need to put outside the shepherd's door, do it. He is absolute truth. And His way is the best way for you. Amen. My prayer today is that you will take this sermon home with you and you will think about it. You know, as you're driving, as you're doing your washing, whatever you're doing, just think about the sermon and say, God, I want to do things Your way. I want to be comfortable in Your sheepfold by doing things Your way. And if you don't know Jesus as the door, you really need to have Jesus as the door. You might be trying to make a door yourself. Don't work. There's no carpenter that can make a door in the shape of Jesus. Jesus is the door. He is the way. So I strongly suggest to you in this place and online, make Jesus your door and live a life that is pleasing to God and yourself as you do. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for this word. I thank You that You care so much for us, Lord. I'm just sometimes overwhelmed over the fact that You love me. You love me. You love us, Lord, even at our ugliest, at our worst, when we're so unlovable, but You love us, and You gave Your Son for us. And if we walk the way of Your Son, we become more like Your Son. Lord, we want to be good for You, Lord. That's what You deserve, nothing less than the best in us, but we know our good behavior doesn't bring salvation. Only You do, because You were perfect. But Lord, as we believe in You, we become more like You. And the glory within us shines greater and greater as we walk with You. So Father, bless this church, Lord. As they've heard this sermon, I pray that they will walk in Your way, that they will leave at the door all the things that You don't want them to have. And they will trust You in simplicity, Lord. Not a complicated trust, but Lord, a simple trust. Simple truth, black and white. Loving You, Jesus, and doing what You tell us to do, Father. In Your precious name, amen. Amen.